Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, Zach Ostman here, IU Insider Indianapolis Star. This is Mind Your Banners for June 21st, 2023. Sorry, it has been a layoff. There have been vacations. There have been family things that have popped up. We have visited all points on the globe. I've been to Cape Cod. Tyler Tashman, who's across from me here, has been to the City of Lights. But we are back now to talk about IU basketball. That's what we want. We know that's what you want. Tyler, it is NBA draft week, which is more eventful for Indiana than it's been in a long time. Indiana only had one player drafted between 2018 and 2022. That was Romeo Langford. The Hoosiers are virtually guaranteed to have two players drafted in this week's draft. It is this week, right? I'm not losing my mind. You'll often find that I am losing my mind in the summer. If they both went in the first round, it would be the first time Indiana had multiple first round picks since 2013, when Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo both went in the lottery. And I think it is fair to say that we are seeing the impacts of that really spreading in terms of Indiana's ability to kind of tell its story to recruits and to high-level recruits. If you look at the names of some of the players, the rankings of some of the players that have been through Bloomington in the last few months, Flory Badunga, Liam McNeely, Asa Newell, Jaden Mustaf, Dylan Harper, Boogie Flan, Derek Queen, Indiana's obviously not going to wind up with all these players. And you know, you would imagine that most of them will go somewhere else. That is just the nature of recruiting. But it has been a long time since Indiana had this kind of agency and this kind of energy and momentum in recruiting at the high school level. And certainly in recruiting at the high school level, beyond maybe the momentum of a new coach, you know, when you have a new coach and it's really easy to kind of talk about a new project and there's, you know, you haven't lost enough games yet for people to have soured on you or whatever. Sometimes it can be kind of easy to sell the idea of a fresh dream, but Mike Woodson's already been here a couple of years and Indiana's recruiting off of the success that he and his staff have had both individually and then collectively. It has just been, it's been a long time since Indiana could really claim this much momentum and this much sort of clout in recruiting.
What stands out to me is obviously it goes without saying that having guys drafted is going to help the program in terms of what it's able to do from a recruiting standpoint and building the program. But what also stands out to me is that Jalen Huchefino and Trace Jackson Davis are two guys that were in drastically different points in their college careers with drastically different skill sets, and Mike Woodson was able to help them get to the next level. You look at a guy like Jalen Huchefino, who maybe wasn't expected to be a lottery pick, and that maybe is where he ends up on draft night, but he was a freshman coming in that kind of one and done mold. So in a guard, kind of more the modern guard that's a little bigger. But then, so you have that on one end. On the other end, you have Trace Jackson Davis, who Mike Woodson didn't originally recruit out of high school, who was already a really established and really good college player when Mike Woodson came in, and Mike Woodson helps him elevate his game to the point where, barring something unforeseen, he will get drafted on draft night. So to me, what stands out is you have two guys that are very distinctly different in how they got to draft night, and Mike Woodson was able to help them get there. And I think that helps in terms of recruiting. You can look at the mold of, okay, Mike Woodson can get a one and done guy to the NBA, but he can also take someone that was already successful at the college level and helped them get to the NBA. So, you know, when you're building a team and you're talking about team success, you probably need a sprinkle of one and done guys, but also guys that have been around the college game for longer. And when you're talking about the transfer portal too, selling someone on, okay, maybe they were successful at a lower level D1 program, and being able to bring them in and not only help the team, but also elevate their game in terms of getting it to where they want to at a professional level. So I think as much notable as, okay, Indiana has two guys that are likely going to be drafted, but also the fact that they came from, they took different paths, and Mike Woodson was able to help them get to where they want to go.
So much of this, especially when you're talking about guys that have, and you know, it's easy to forget, like Trace Jackson Davis, he was in Indiana so long, you forget he was a McDonald's All-American. He was a top 25, top 30 player. I think multiple outlets had him as a five-star. He was widely regarded as one of the best bigs in his class. So he winds up spending 4 years in college, but he fit this mold coming out of high school as well. You know, when you're talking to kids who are top 20, top 30, top 50, you know, guys who should have the basically the ambition or the ceiling, I guess is probably a better way to put it, to think about playing professionally, you need to be able to tell your story well to them. And people want to talk about facilities, but, you know, and that matters, yes, but everybody's got good facilities. And people want to talk about NIL, and that matters. But there's plenty of programs out there that have good NIL. And I like the Mike Locksley quote about Maryland's new football facility this week, where he said, unfortunately, we moved in at a time when facilities have been de-emphasized in a recruit's mind because they get dressed in a trash can for $25,000. I don't think recruiting is ever quite that cut and dry, that zero sum. But I do think that, broadly speaking, you know, we're not in a time where one or two programs have some remarkable advantage on everybody else. You know, for a while, I think when Mike Krzyzewski was, you know, kind of chairing the whole Team USA setup, that really helped Duke in terms of recruiting with some of the most elite guys, because those guys were spending so much time at the high school level inside the Team USA, you know, sort of structure. They were getting to know Krzyzewski there. But the reality is that for the vast majority of programs, you know, you can have maybe something cooler in your team facility than anybody else, but somebody else is going to have something more interesting than you. You can have a good NIL offer, but somebody else may offer something better or have better opportunities, whatever. The point is you've got to be able to tell your story in a way that convinces a guy, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, maybe 3 years, maybe in some cases even 4 years. At Indiana, you know, the stuff that they get promised, the vision they are sold, is what's going to be delivered when they get there. And I think what has resonated as much as anything else is it's felt like it's almost been like somebody from Indiana staff has been in the back of the room shouting questions at Jalen Hood-Schifino, because anytime he's been prompted to talk about his time at Indiana, whether it's been the way he was developed, the way he was coached, I think even talking about Cliff Marshall and the strength and conditioning work he did, it's not just that Jalen Hood-Schifino came to Indiana, seemed to accelerate his growth curve and became a first round pick, a lottery pick faster than expected. It's that whenever anybody asks him about it, all he wants to do is talk about how impactful his time at Indiana was and how good the setup was at Indiana and how well he was treated and how much of a difference he felt it made in his career and his development and all those things. That's the stuff that's what sets you apart. And, you know, I mean, obviously Kentucky had a lot of that maybe about 8-10 years ago. It seems like some of it has waned more recently. And I'm not suggesting Indiana is about to become, you know, early 2010s Calipari Kentucky. That's not what I'm saying. But I think you're suddenly seeing more kids interested in Indiana because the kids that they identify with, the ones that they see at the elite camps, the ones they play against in AAU, the ones that they see, you know, maybe 12 months ahead of them in terms of development, in terms of draft opportunities, et cetera, are coming back to them and saying, I'm telling you, this is the place you want to be. This is a good place for you to be. And, you know, when we, I feel like we talk about this a lot in the micro when Indiana wins a recruiting battle like McKenzie and Bacco, and there will always be an extent to which your sort of recruiting momentum is only as strong as the next big recruit you're trying to commit. But it just, it does feel like there is, Indiana is telling that story better now than it has for a very long time for a whole host of reasons.
Is it too much of a overstatement to say that like Mike Woodson and his staff is kind of making Indiana cool? I don't know if that's
I think that's fair, at least to some extent. And like the best comparison I would give is Indiana's sort of recruiting momentum immediately following that 2013 season, at least in my time on the beat, when they were able to commit Noah Vonleh and Troy Williams, and obviously, you know, we can have a discussion about how much that recruiting momentum was capitalized upon. Obviously, a couple of years later, maybe the best recruiting class Indiana's had in the last 20 years, 2015, all three of those guys wind up in the NBA. Thomas Bryant, OG Anunoby, and Juwan Morgan. But like, yeah, I don't think it's wrong to say that there's, again, like when you can get Carmelo Anthony on the phone with a recruit, like that means something. That means a lot, really. And I think it's I don't know if cool is the right word or is maybe too simple. I don't know what, but it, again, like Indiana's got agency in recruiting that it hasn't had in a very long time.
And I don't mean to say cool from the aspect of like, I think people in the IU community largely have the passion and have believe that Indiana is cool. But I think it's more of the national perception, the way that it is told from recruit to recruit, from prospect to prospect, that it is kind of, they are seeing what people inside the IU community have always seen. But really, I think that when you look back at when Mike Woodson was hired, there was some hesitations about him. But I think one of the things that was a positive immediately was that he had coached in the NBA. He had coached guys like J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony, so on, names that people know. I think that was one of the positives immediately when he was hired, that he is going to be able to say he coached guys, superstars in the NBA. Now I think what you're seeing is Mike Woodson being able to take, now you're seeing the marriage of, okay, he's at the college level coaching for the first time, and he is helping college guys get to where he used to coach. And so now I think you not only have the fact that, okay, he coached superstars in the NBA, but you also see the idea of, okay, here are younger guys that he helped get to that level. So I think it's not only the fact, not only the NBA side of it, but now the fact that he is able to develop and get guys there, and that his experience at the NBA level, you see it firsthand of what it's able to do for guys in college. So I think when you're talking about him recruiting and what he's able to do, it's a combination of kind of both of those. Now he can't, you know, there's multiple selling points. But I think the other thing about Mike Woodson is like, he's like his personality. I think that's one thing that was like really maybe underplayed, like when he was hired, of just like who he is. Like we've kind of gotten to know him to a certain extent, just being around him, covering him, where like he just has these kind of funny things he'll say, and whether I don't even think he might not be meaning them to be funny, like just some of the little quirks and stuff that he, you know, talking about a pot of chili after an exhibition game last season, and like just his mannerisms, the kind of things he does. But I think that also is like a key point of it, is like talking to McKenzie and Baco's mom, like just how relaxed the atmosphere was when they were on their visit at IU, and Mike Woodson's personality and how that played in a role. So obviously there's a lot of different elements that go into recruiting, and I think some of them are continuing to grow with Mike Woodson. But I think another big part of it is just like who he is as a person, like his personality, how he's able to connect with other people.
Yeah, I mean, it, and I'm, you know, this, this, we can run the risk of getting a little bit too like philosophical here, but and certainly we can run the risk of maybe, you know, waxing a little too poetic when, let's be fair, you know, we're talking about how this is spinning forward into 2024. It's not like Indiana's got, you know, a couple top 20 recruits in the bag already in 2024. Like, there's still work to do there. And, you know, there's every chance that you have all this recruiting momentum and you still can't put together the kind of class you need. But I think to your point about Woodson, you know, you go back to when he was hired and you were right. There was sort of this feeling of essentially, on the one hand, you know, can Mike Woodson adapt to the college game? Can he find a staff that he can connect with? Because ultimately, you know, there's always an extent to which at any level, frankly, of basketball, you're only as good as your assistants and the people you surround yourself with, because assistants are going to have to do just as much work, if not more, in building relationships, in, you know, hitting the trail and in evaluation when you're live periods and evaluation windows, in planning out visits and all those different kinds of things. But then there was kind of the flip side, which was coming from the NBA. And so he should be able to leverage relationships. He can have more honest and frank conversations with players about what it's going to take, what's required of them there. You know, you go back to sort of those earliest meetings, Trace Jackson Davis talking, I mean, 2 years later, still referencing those meetings he had with Mike Woodson that convinced him to come back for just his third year, much less his fourth year, in terms of, this is how we're going to get you better. This is what you got to do differently. This is your path to the league in a lot of ways. And basically sort of joining up the idea of, this is your path to being the player you want to be, and in so doing, helping us be the program we want to be. But then there was also kind of this, and this is very retail, like it's very, like you can't quantify it, but you'd see him around, you know, like the players that he left behind in New York and how excited they were to see him. And that there was clearly sort of a genuine relationship and a genuine respect from guys who were making, you know, $20, $30 million a year with Mike Woodson, who'd been a head coach, he'd been an assistant coach. But I know you went and talked to some Knicks players toward the back end of last season, just for stories about Woodson. And then you kind of, again, you get Carmelo Anthony talking about him. You get JJ Redick talking about him. You get guys who can tell you a story about, I went to the NBA and I didn't just get drafted in the first round, but I got a second contract, a third contract, a fourth contract. Not just the Carmelo Anthonys of the world who made, you know, who were stars from day one and had all the success they had, but guys who can literally say, and again, this is something Indiana hasn't had in a while, guys who can say, you know, I got a third contract in the NBA because I, in part, because I played for him and because, you know, because he made me better, and the stuff that he worked with me on that elongated my NBA career. And I didn't just make my rookie contract or even my second contract, but I was, you know, by your third contract in the NBA, oftentimes that's when you're starting to make, certainly your second contract is your big one, but you get to a third contract, that's when you start to clock up career earnings, you know, well north of like $40 million, $50 million. And you start making the kind of money that becomes generational wealth. That sounds nice, doesn't it? I think we should try that sometime. But, you know, it's, there was always kind of this, I don't know if risk reward is the right term, but there was, you know, when you asked, can Mike Woodson adapt to college? There was always this other side to it, was if he does, you know, how quickly and how effectively can he kind of turn all of his NBA experience into a benefit, into a positive. And again, listen, you know, it's always important to talk about recruiting and recognize that nothing's guaranteed in terms of, you know, guys committing, guys signing, whatever. You've got to get to the finish line with the right number of guys to keep building your program, whether it's in high school recruiting or obviously in portal recruiting, as has been much more relevant for Indiana, you know, the last few months in this offseason. But it does just feel like that, you know, that piece of Mike Woodson's resume has translated really well not just because he walked in the room and said, I coached in the NBA, everybody listen to me and I'll get you there, but because he took that, those experiences and those skills and that part of his sort of his, you know, repertoire as a coach and married it to a lot of good work in staffing, in development, et cetera, at the college level, and Indiana seeing the benefits.
And you mentioned Indiana not having any commits right now in 2024, and the staff, like, regardless of, you know, what they, how quickly things come together in the next class, but it's like, this staff has found a real sweet spot in being able to play catch up, being able to, I mean, they've gotten, Indiana has gotten Tamar Bates in kind of the late decommitment of the cycle. They got Malik Renew, and now they got Mackenzie Mbako. And it's like, you look at Indiana's 2023 class, and for a long time, they only had two commitments, which was Ja'Kai Newton and Gabe Cups. And both of them, I think, can be really good foundational pieces. But at the same time, you know, Ja'Kai Newton was dealing with an injury, missed a lot of his senior season. Gabe Cups, you know, and take rankings with a grain of salt, but he wasn't that kind of flash of the five-star or whatever. So Indiana has two guys basically in that class for a while, and then they go out and get Mackenzie Mbako. They, you know, five star, after he was supposed to go to Duke and, decided to go a different route. You look at what Indiana was able to do in the transfer portal, getting, Kalel Ware, who played one season at Oregon, former five star guy. So my point is, however they're doing it, Indiana is able to play catch up if they get behind and they're able to add the necessary pieces. I'll also say this. The guys Mike Woodson recruits, or I'll say one guy, he knows how to make a good burger, or at least put it on paper. Malik Renew, I just wanted to mention it briefly, but
I got awful. Zach. That's
I got a, Zach.
That's an awful drop.
That was a pretty good transition. You didn't know where I was going with that, did you?
I was at Big Woods on Sunday for Father's Day, but I went for the flatbread pizza instead of the burger.
Oh my god, that's an abomination! No, the burger. I tried it. I wrote a story on it. It was a good time, and watched the burger, Malik Renew burger being made at Big Woods Speedway. No, it's good. I would recommend it. I wouldn't say it, like, I was hesitant to give it a 5-star rating because I'm like, 5-star burger got to be life changing. Like, it's got to, like, make me grow to 6'5", and I'm like roughly 5'8", 5'9". So, like, that would be, in my eyes, that's a 5-star burger. So I gave it a 4.5 star, and because it was really good. It's like onion rings, barbecue sauce, American cheese, patty, bacon, and like,
in this podcast.
And like, but I mean, I know you like food, and like, I know I'm making myself hungry now, but like, it was good. So he, Mike Woodson, and this is heavily underrated, knows how to recruit guys that can create good burgers.
I hate you so much.
Good I've luck, completely good lost luck my transition train of thought.
Mike Woodson, I think it's interesting. I mean, we both brought up the portal there. You know, we framed a lot of this around kind of 2024, and I think that's natural because it's sort of the 2023 NBA draft, which always sort of like feels like it feeds into the next recruiting class in a lot of ways, because you start thinking about, okay, who's coming next, and, you know, who are going to be the guys that are going to be in college this winter that are going to populate the 2024 NBA draft. But then, you know, who are going to be the guys that wind up coming out of the 24 class that wind up being sort of the next one, so to speak. But there is relevance to in the portal. Like, I think there's, you know, you talk about building quick relationships with recruits like Malik Renew and Tamar Bates. There is, I mean, that's even more important when you're going to have the kind of offseason like I think Indiana, it's fair to say, planned to have this year, which is one where, you know, we're going to need to be active in the portal. We're going to need to, you know, I think for 6 months at least, Indiana looked at this offseason and said, we know these guys are going to graduate. These guys are going to go to the NBA, whatever. We are going to have to rebuild the roster through the portal first. And we like Gabe Kupps. We like Jakai Newton. You said, and I agree with you, that both of those guys are probably foundational pieces you can count on for 3-4 years if their development kind of goes as expected. But, you know, Indiana entered this offseason knowing we are going to have to go get some immediate impact players out of the transfer portal, and in a way that they basically elected not to 12 months ago because they felt like they had a lot coming back. They liked what they had in their freshman class. They sort of solidified it with Malik Renew in the spring. But when you see Indiana's ability to build a relationship with Kalel Ware, who amusingly, if I'm not mistaken, and this is just because I think I still have him on Instagram notifications from when he was going to be announcing his commitment. I believe Kalel Ware's Instagram picture is a picture of Mike Woodson wearing a chef's hat. To your point about making good burgers, you know, whether it's Kalel Ware, whether it's Peyton Sparks, you know, the importance of this ability to, again, build those relationships quickly, tell your story thoroughly, because guys who go into the portal, they are not expecting a 9-month process. They are not expecting, you know, like if you look at, like, for example, some of the guys that have been coming through Bloomington in the 24 class in the last few weeks and certainly the last few months, you know, a guy like, I think Dylan Harper has said, you know, the number one overall player in the class, according to 24/7 Sports Composite. He's visited Indiana once already, if I'm not mistaken. He's talked about visiting again. You've seen guys that are coming through here in taking their summer officials and saying they're going to, you know, they'd like to take another official visit at some point. Those are players who are thinking about their recruitment in terms of months and years. When you're in the portal, you've got to deliver that sales pitch in weeks, days and weeks. And you've got, you know, you can go from, and we kind of saw this with Kalel Ware, where when he went into the portal, there was a real feeling like maybe it was Duke, you know, maybe it was with Arkansas, because, you know, would Arkansas try to get involved because of the obvious sort of connections there. And it developed very quickly with Indiana. You know, I mean, like, I think at least in terms of sort of public word leaking out, I think it was less than a week between when I heard that Kalel Ware was when Kalel Ware was sort of, you know, suddenly sort of came into the frame for Indiana, so to speak. And when he committed, and obviously there was that, maybe it was a little more than a week because there was that canceled Alabama visit. But, you know, it's almost more meaningful in a way, and maybe more, a little bit more directly comparable to the NBA, where free agency doesn't happen in a matter of days, but it is something that happens fairly quickly. Guys, they'll make their visits, they'll listen to the pitches, and then they'll sit down and make a decision. Again, your ability to tell that story, your ability to sort of sell yourself, but in a way that I think, to your point about what Mackenzie Mbako's mom said to you, still feels genuine. And it doesn't feel like, you know, I think sometimes it can take on a bit of a used car salesman feel. It doesn't feel that way. It feels honest, and you feel like you're being leveled with, and you're being treated with respect, and you're being given, you know, a true outlook of what to expect if you choose Indiana. I think in a way that's even more a testament to how well, to this point anyway, how well Mike Woodson has sort of merged, you know, his NBA experience and all his time and his connections and his knowledge from that side of his career to, you know, bringing that to the college level, translating it to the college level, and, you know, figuring out what can be pulled down from that NBA experience and what needs to be done a little bit differently, because college will obviously always operate just a little bit differently than the pros.
I just had quickly looking forward to this upcoming season. I just feel like it's really intriguing. Obviously, Indiana is losing a lot of really important pieces, including Jalen Hood-Schifino and Trace Jackson Davis, who we've talked about. But I feel like with all the new pieces coming in, and the high, they have a lot of guys on the roster that have really high ceilings that haven't gotten there yet. And if they do, I think that this Indiana team has a higher ceiling than it did last season, because I think this upcoming season's team has a really high ceiling, but I also think that the floor is substantially lower. If guys don't develop, if things don't go right, you don't have Trace Jackson Davis, to fall back on now. You don't have a veteran guy like Race Thompson or Miller Kopp or whatever. I think the ceiling is higher than last season. I think the floor is actually is also substantially lower.
I think that's fair, and I think we've obviously got plenty of summer still to talk about it. And I promise that we will not go. I guess it's probably about a month between podcasts. Life kind of got in the way, and off seasons and things like that. We'll leave it there for today, but just really wanted to explore that because I find it fascinating. Kind of as we approach the NBA draft this week, and as kind of conversations around just where Indiana's alumni are going to fall in that sort of intensify. I think it is interesting the impact it seems to be having in Bloomington. He's Tyler Tashman. I'm Zach Osterman. This has been Mind Your Banners for June. I was about to say January. It's way too warm to be January. June 21st, 2023. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week. In the meantime, take it easy.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.